Amen. Good morning, Genoa, and Merry Christmas. Woo! Great to see everybody today. I'm so honored to be here. I also want to welcome those that are listening on 880 WRFD and those that are watching online as well. It is hard to believe that Christmas is almost here. Is your tree up? Have you made your plans? Have you bought the gifts? Have you shared your personal wish list with your friends and your loved ones? Well, before you maybe do that, I want to give you a suggestion this morning of a great Christmas gift to receive. You ready? Christmas fruitcake. Woo! Hey, let me share some things you can do with it. You can use slices of it to stop your wobbly table in your kitchen. You can give it to the U.S. Air Force and they'll drop it on our enemies. You can use it as speed bumps to slow down the speedsters in your neighborhood. You can collect them and use them as bowling pins. Isn't that a good idea? You can save them for your garage sale next year, and they'll be just as fresh as they are now. But here's my favorite of all. Use them for skeet shooting. Pull! Anyways, just a few thoughts. You can only get this kind of good stuff at Genoa, amen? Amen. Guys, listen, the most important thing, the reason we're here today, the thing we want to consider in this season, in the midst of the busyness and the stress and the budgets and the planning, here's what I want you to know this morning. The Lord wants to use you to do something extraordinary. The Lord wants to use you to do something extraordinary. If you can get all those words out, I want you to say it to your neighbor right now. Ready, go. isn't that great news at Christmas time? God wants to use you and he wants to use me. So we're going to get started this morning. The outline is on the back of your bulletin. And go ahead, if you would, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. And while you're turning there, a quick reminder. Dr. Luke, a physician by trade, Gentile by birth, Greek by education, a companion of Paul on two of his three missionary journeys, he writes this gospel/apologetic to his friend Theophilus to explain to him that the gospel message is not just for the Jew, but it's for the Greek and the Gentile as well. And that brings us this morning to chapter 1, the beginning of the verse 26. How can God use you to do something extraordinary? Here's the first blank. Are you ready? Embrace the supernatural. Embrace the supernatural. So let's go ahead and get started, and let's look at verse 26 this morning. Follow with me. Now in the sixth month. That's a reference to cousin Elizabeth's 6th of 9 month pregnancy. Ultimately, she would birth that child, John the... That's right, exactly. So in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now, just a quick reminder, Israel was split into two parts, southern and northern. The southern was Judea, the northern was Galilee, and the Judeans considered the Galileans unkosher. So they didn't like each other very much. And Nazareth was the armpit of Galilee. So this is the most quaint, remote little town that this angel comes to. So here we have the Christmas story, the beginning of it, and we have a supernatural, cataclysmic, out of this world event. This angel Gabriel comes to this little girl Mary. This is the Gabriel that scholars say was also in Daniel chapter 10, bringing Daniel's prayer request to him, the answer, but he had to fight the demon prince Persia to do it. This is the same angel that came to Zechariah earlier in this chapter. Zechariah, the husband of Elizabeth, to confirm everything. This is the same angel that later on would come to Joseph to calm his heart and his mind. And this is the same angel that led the heavenly choir and before the shepherds singing, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. So this is just a quick reminder of what was going on, and he visits and heralds the birth of Jesus to this little teenage Jewish girl. Listen, maybe this morning when it comes to the idea of the supernatural, your response is, bah, humbug. Preacher, I don't believe that stuff. I only believe in what I can touch, see, feel, smell. I'll believe in my senses. But the truth of the matter is this, is that the evidence for the supernatural is all around us. Think about the ability to have thought and to reason. Now, I know that AI is trying to overtake that for us, but that's still a God-given supernatural gift. I think about dreams. We have some crazy dreams sometimes. We're like, where in the world did that come from? I think about morality, the ability to know innately right and wrong. The Bible says that God's law, his word, is written on our hearts. How about the capacity for emotion, to feel, not just chemical reactions going on inside, but many, many things. We have a dimension to us that goes beyond the natural, even to the supernatural, and it points to Creator God who loves us, who wants to have a relationship with us, and has provided the solution for that to happen. And when we want to be used by God, we begin at that point, believing in that supernatural of the God wanting to work in our hearts and our lives to touch the people around us. Amen? Number two this morning, how can God use you? Believe God will do it. Believe that God will use you. He's in that business. Let's continue on. Verses 27 and 28. So Gabe was sent to a virgin betrothed to a man. Now that word betrothed is the same word as engagement. In Jewish culture, you were betrothed or engaged 1 year previously to the wedding. It was as binding as marriage without the sex. All right, so they have this 1 year period that they're in. She was betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. That's the lineage, the line, the genealogy of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one." That means Mary, full of grace. Mary, you are a graceful woman. You are favored in the Lord's eyes. Blessed are you above women. Is that what it says? I'm just checking. No. It says among women. That's a reminder today that Mary is not to be worshipped. She's not to be prayed to, but she is special. And God did use her, and God did choose her, and God wants to do the same for you as well this morning. Is that the truth? And so we have this little teenage girl, and Gabe is sent to her and brings her this message. And I would guess that maybe Mary had some questions, like, why is this angel bringing me this message? Why am I important? I'm just this poor little girl. Or why have he picked me for this task? And maybe the angel had some questions. Why did the Lord send me? Why am I, did I get the wrong address to this little girl? And did I maybe even pick up the wrong instructions? I don't know. But I do know that the angel knew that God works in incredible ways. And he typically chooses the unlikely, the obscure, the humble, the weak, the unimportant to do supernatural things. Why? Because that's when he gets the glory. That's when he gets the praise. It's not my ability. It's not my intelligence. It's not my good looks. But it has to be the Lord that's doing it, and he gets the glory for that. The fact today is that God delights in using ordinary people, you and me. I think about a couple of those ordinary people this morning. I think about Truett Cathy, who started out as a poor child, a single-parent family, way down there in Georgia. But one day he figured out how to make chicken delicious and fresh and juicy and fast by pressurizing it. And it turned into a multi-billion dollar a year business that's one of the largest today. And all throughout it, he wanted to continue to glorify God. I think about Ben Carson, who grew up in Detroit, Michigan, in a single-parent home with a mom who worked multiple jobs to keep the family going and eventually became renowned as a neurosurgeon all around the world. It's a reminder today that good things can come out of Michigan. Or at least one. Here's one maybe you've never heard of before. I think about Ricky Hill. New movie just came out, The Hill, and that's why I know about Ricky. True story. Born in Fort Worth, Texas, to a poor Baptist preacher with degenerative spinal disease, grew up with braces on his legs all through his growing up years. And yet he discovered that when he hit a baseball with a bat, that he felt God's favor and power upon him. And he continued to pursue that to a point where eventually he played 4 years for Montreal in the Major League Baseball Association, defying all odds. And again, his purpose was to glorify the Lord. Small beginnings, strong endings. I think about William Stoll, my dad, who slipped away on us a year and a half ago. Dad lost his father when he was just 7 years old. He grew up in a troubled home. He barely graduated high school. He made it into Ohio Northern University by the skin of his teeth. It took him 10 years to graduate with his 4-year degree. And at the end of that stint, he moved us up to Bowling Green, where he got his master's degree. And then he moved us to Columbus, Ohio, and he had almost a 30-year career in education here in this area. But his greatest accomplishment was that he passed on his legacy of faith to a family. Amen? And so we think about these things. Here's the words I want you to know this morning. In the famous words of Junior Asparagus of VeggieTales, little guys can do big things too. And that's how God wants to move. That's how God wants to work in our hearts and in our lives. How can God use you today? Embrace the supernatural. Believe God can use you. Number 3 on your outline, admit your weaknesses. Admit your weaknesses. Look now at Mary's response in verse 29. Mary was, circle this if it's your Bible, greatly troubled at his words, and wondered what kind of greeting this was. That word, greatly troubled, or phrase in the original language, literally means to be stirred up from the inside out. Stirred up. It's kind of like the first time, guys, you called that young lady out for a date, and your innards were just churning. You were so scared and so nervous. Very similar to flu symptoms. Right? So she was greatly troubled at what this angel came to tell her. And again, I can hear some of her questions. Why did this angel come to me? Why am I highly favored? How is God with me? But people, Mary realized her weaknesses, her inabilities, her shortcomings, very much like, how about the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, when he is brought into the very throne room and experiences the very holiness of God, the cherubim and the seraphim and the holy Shekinah glory smoke all around him. And what was his response? Woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. I think about Gideon this morning, back in the book of Judges, one of the first judges. And when the story opens up, he's in the bottom of a wine press. He's hiding out from his enemies, the Midianites. And God shows up and says to him, I got a name for you, Mighty Warrior. And Gideon says, what are you talking about? I'm in the weakest clan of Israel, and I am the least in that clan. Basically, he was saying, I'm about as important as a pimple on the rear end of a camel. Very insignificant. But folks, listen to me. When we're in that point of humility, of lowliness, of awareness of our unworthiness, that's when we're positioned to be used by God. Maybe in ways we never could imagine before. Think about James 4:6. James wrote, God resists the proud, but he gives grace, more grace to the humble. Does that not describe this little girl Mary this morning? Paul said in 2 Corinthians, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. He wrote in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That's exactly right. The key to being used by God this morning is realizing that He is God and I am not. Amen? That's we're in that right place and we're in that right position for God to use us in an extraordinary way. How can God use you this morning? Number four, listen to God's solution. Listen to God's solution. So mankind has a problem. God has a solution. In your margin, if you'd be willing, I want you to write down vertically four words. Are you ready? Good, bad, new, and perfect. Good, bad, new, perfect. Those four words are the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. They encompass a biblical worldview. This is not something I made up. That Scottish preacher up in Cleveland, Alistair Begg, he's the one I heard this from, but I said this is too good. So let me give it the Cliff Note version of his message real quick. Good. God created all things 6 days. And each day he said, it is, that's right. So God made this beautiful creation, new and beautiful and perfect in every way. But in Genesis chapter 3, the bad entered in, right? Adam and Eve sinned. They disobeyed God. And immediately there was separation with God. And sin began its terrible corruption. But immediately, God put a rescue plan into place. He said, there's going to be a rescuer that's going to come one day. And Satan, you're going to nip at his heel, but rescuer, you're going to stomp on his head. Hallelujah. And so it began the rescue launch. And that continued all the way through to Christmas, to Luke chapter 1, when the rescuer came. And that is the new. Jesus came. He lived. He died. He rose again. And in so doing, he provided a way for us to come into a relationship with him, to be restored back to him, back into fellowship with him through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, so that we, what does the Bible say, could be made brand new. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. The old has passed, the new has begun. And guess what we're still looking forward to, church? The perfect. One day, Jesus Christ is coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, maybe sooner than we think. And he's going to usher in his kingdom for 1,000 years. And then he's going to make the brand new heavens, new earth, new Jerusalem, all perfect. Sin will be finally eradicated forever and ever. There you go. The whole Bible in four words. So, man had a problem, lost in darkness, no hope. Eternally separated from God, but God provides the rescuer and the solution. Here it is. Let's follow the verses together, verses 30 to 33. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and his name shall be Jesus." Circle that if you would. "He will be great, be called the Son of the Most High, and Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." So we have a baby who is conceived of a virgin. Not just any baby, but Jesus. Yeshua literally means Jehovah is salvation. Son of the Most High, equating him equal with God. Matthew used the word Emmanuel, God with us. Very similar. Of the line of David, the Davidic lineage, a completion of the Davidic covenant that said, David, there will always be one of your ancestors on the throne of Israel, ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And how long would that last? Forever. That kind of clears up questions about land issues over there in Israel today, doesn't it? Very, very clear. God's solution wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Maybe not very impressive, But like E.F. Hutton, when God speaks, we better listen. Because he has the authoritative final word. What was Mary's response? We're going to look at that in just a moment. But I want you to know this morning that Mary's response began with wrestling with a question. There was an elephant in the room question when she got that message. And here it is continuing on in verse 34. Mary said to the angel, "Well, how in the world can this be since I have not been intimate with a man?" So here's this teenage, zit-faced little girl, but she knew enough about the birds and the bees to know that she could not be pregnant. God, we have a problem. Well, the angel provides the answer. Verse 35, the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. Power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One will be born, and he will be called the Son of God." The angel said, "Mary, there's a seed that's going to be planted, a heavenly, eternal seed planted in you that'll produce the incarnate, eternal God-man." That is what is going to happen. People, when we ask the question and God provides a solution and invites us to be part of it, we better to be ready to answer with a heart of faith. How about when Jesus was preaching to the 10,000 plus and they all got hungry? And the disciples came, Jesus said, "Jesus, we have a problem." And Jesus said, "Well, I have a solution. Gather up those fishes and loaves, begin to break them, and see what's going to happen." And guess what? The disciples got to be part of a miracle. How about the 10 lepers that had a problem, their leprosy? And they came to Jesus. And Jesus said, "I have a solution. Go back to your priest and tell him that you've been cleansed." And on the way, they all got cleansed. They had a problem. Jesus provided the solution. I think about a young couple, Joe and Marcella Stoll, in 1983, who got married, and a door opened for us to go to sunny South Florida, Coral Springs, where I taught and then went on to be a youth pastor for 5 years down there. Then God opened the door for us to come back home to the Columbus area. And I taught in London for 3 years. 1991, God opened a door for us to come to Genoa Baptist Church. And we were in that little warehouse building right down at the end of this property. Back then, there was no steeple, there was no brick, it was a warehouse. And we were here watching God move in powerful ways for 10 years. And then God opened the door for me to go pastor a church on the east side of Columbus, Barnett Road Baptist Church. And we were down there for 6 years. And then God opened a door for us to come back to Genoa in 2007. And we've been back ever since, continuing to watch God move and work in powerful ways. In the infamous words of the great theologians Rascal Flatts, "God bless the broken road." There are twists. There are turns. We don't know what's going to happen next, but if we follow the leadership and we walk in faith and trust his guidance in our lives, God can lead us to extraordinary things that we just go back and go, "What in the world, God? That is just amazing." So this morning, you want to be used by God? Embrace the supernatural. Believe God will use you. Admit your weakness. Number four, listen to God's solution. We just did that, right? Right. And number five, give the right response. Give the right response. So now, finally, drum roll, we come to Mary's final response. After hearing all of this news, all of the questions, all of the doubts and fears, what does she say? Verse 38, if you would read it with me, ready, go. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary said. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Guys, a response of faith. Amen? A response finally of, "Okay, here I am, Lord, use me." It was a servant attitude. It was a willing heart and a willing response in the midst of a difficult situation. Listen, she knew it was going to be hard. She was betrothed to Joseph, and he knew it would not be his child. She was faced with the stigma of being an unwed mother. She was faced with being accused of adultery, and she knew that adultery was punishable by death. And yet she believed God. She grabbed hold of the situation. He said, Lord, here I am. I'm going to receive this just as you said. And she responded in faith. So folks, the question this morning as we begin to land the plane is this. What is your response? As God has called, as God has moved, as God has worked in your life, sometimes I think we're more like Jonah and we're running the other direction. But the Lord says, take that step of faith and embrace my plan for you and watch me use you in a super and in a powerful way. I hope today that your response is like Isaiah in Isaiah 6. Here I am, Lord, send me. I'm in the front of the class and my hand is up and raised. So this morning in closing, I don't know what God has called you to do. Maybe something dramatic like being a missionary to Africa. Maybe something uncomfortable like inviting your neighbors to Christmas Eve service. As you leave today, close to every orange bucket, they're business-size invitation Christmas Eve cards that you can take with you to pass out to your family, your friends, your neighbors. As you're getting your double cheeseburger in the Wendy's drive-thru, wherever you want to do that. But guys, there are opportunities if we'll just step up and take those chances and lovingly share with people. Maybe today it's something painful, like telling somebody who has hurt you that you forgive them and you're praying for them. That's an extraordinary God thing, isn't it? Those are the hard things to do, and yet God calls us to take those steps of forgiveness. Maybe it's something that seems impossible this morning, like hanging on tight and fighting for your marriage just one more day. Or maybe it's something difficult this morning, like letting go of an old chapter of life and with God's direction moving forward to a new chapter of life in your life and situation. I don't know what that is, but I do know this. If you embrace the supernatural, that means believe that there is God and that there's an angelic spiritual world. And that there is a battle going on, but that Jesus won the victory on the cross and when he rose again, and that he can bring victory in your life. If you'll believe that he'll use you, if you'll admit your weakness this morning, if you'll listen to his solution and then step forward in obedience and say, Lord, here I am, my hand is raised, I want to move forward in what you've called me to do. I know that God can use you in a super extraordinary way. I hope you'll say like Isaiah or like Mary, I'm your servant, Lord. Let it be according to your word. And the result will be a miracle. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. Let me ask you two questions. Question number one is this. What has God been nudging you to do in your life? What is maybe that hard thing that just seems so impossible, but the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you, whispering to you, using his word to direct you a certain direction? And maybe you hear this morning say, Pastor Joe, I want to take that step. I want to do what God has called me to do, but I need his help to do it. Would you pray for me? If that's you this morning, raise your hand right now. Anybody at all. I want to take that step of faith and do what God has called me to do. Lord, you see the hands that went up this morning. And I want to claim your promise of Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So Lord, I want you to provide the help, the strength, the direction, the wisdom to know the right thing and to do it for these dear folks this morning at Christmas time. Move and work in a powerful way that like maybe we never imagined. One more question this morning. Maybe you're here today and you said, Pastor, you know what? You talked about heaven and eternity and that promise, but I'm not sure that I'm going there. Friend, you can have that assurance today by reaching out in faith and accepting the gift of Christmas, and that's Jesus, who loves you, who took your place on the cross, who rose again to prove that he is God the Son and has all the power to save you, to hold you, and to bring you to himself through all of eternity.